The 2024 NFL Draft has wrapped up, and the Browns have made all six of their selection. Today on From the Podium, we're going to hear from some of those Browns draft picks from over the last 2 days, and of course, a few members of the front office as well, as they're going to go over every pick that they made in the 2024 NFL Draft. Starting the day at the podium were the two picks from Friday night, Mike Hall Jr. from The Ohio State University and Zach Zinter from the University of Michigan, who both talked about how excited they were to play in Cleveland and how they plan to put that Ohio State-Michigan rivalry aside.
Considering, and Zach, you were obviously asked last night about this, but considering how you guys are connected from last November, how surreal, strange, everything that, you know, kind of, as Zach said before, comes full circle now that you guys are teammates in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say, you know, first off, you know, I mean, the game, you know, in itself, you know, the up north and Ohio State rivalry is insane, you know, from day one, you know. Whenever you attend these prestigious colleges, you know, that's the main goal. So, but, you know, being my rival my first, you know, my 3 years throughout my career, and then finally being teammates, yeah, it's crazy to, you know, see him in the building. I'm going to be seeing him day in and day out, you know. But, I mean, we're brothers now, and it's all about that.
What kind of reaction have you gotten since last night from just Northeast Ohio, friends, family, as you gotten to hear from more people about being with the hometown team?
Yeah, being with my hometown team has just been a blessing come true. You know, it's the greatest feeling ever. You know, I feel like, I mean, everybody wants to stay home, but, you know, sometimes it's not a reality. But waking up this morning is an actual reality. Like, I mean, waking up as a Cleveland Brown, it's insane. I talked about this with my family, friends, since I was, you know, ever since I played football, you know, at the age of six.
Playing in that style offense you had there at Michigan, how will that prepare you for the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's perfect. I mean, you know, we're a run-first offense for sure, you know, run the ball a lot, and then they start stacking the box, hitting with the play action. But, I mean, JJ was able to pass the ball too, so I think we're pretty diverse, you know, and able to do a lot of things. So, you know, I'm excited to see how that's going to help me translate to the NFL.
Zach, you made 41 starts at right guard, but how much experience do you have playing other positions?
Yeah, so I cross-trained to play center my sophomore year. We had an older guy come in who was a walk-on, earned his way to have a scholarship, fifth-year guy. He had some back problems, so I cross-trained to play center. He was able to make it through the year, so I never had to play. But I played center in two spring games, so, you know, I have experience there, just never any true actual games.
And you guys are brothers now, but go back to that game on November 25th and Zach gets hurt. You know, what's that like for you guys to see a moment like that where a guy gets carted off the field? Because it could happen to anybody, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, like we were just talking about that, and we were just saying, like, you know, whoever's going to win that game, that was the, you know, the national championship game. So, and they won a national championship, so it was no coincidence. But, I mean, just seeing that, and, you know, it's obviously the biggest rivalry of all sport. But, I mean, just to see that out there, and, I mean we even prayed for him after, you know, when that happened. So, I mean, it was just real tragic to see that. I mean, he's a hell of a player, and, you know, my teammate now, my brother. But, you know, we were just real – I mean, because when you go out there against those guys, you want to play against the best. You don't want to go against, you know, no offense to anybody, but, you know, the second or third, you want to go against the top. I mean, and this game is all about competing.
Zach was telling us yesterday that you reached out to him after that injury. Can you just kind of share with us, like, when you did that and what you were feeling and sort of what you said?
Oh, yeah, no, we were just checking up on him, just making sure everything's good. I mean, I know he wanted to play in the national championship game. That was just, I mean, everybody would want to do that, though, for sure. So, but, I mean, for sure, it was just a tragic event that happened.
In the minutes and hours after that injury, all the things you processed, did you worry about your NFL future at all?
I mean, it definitely crossed my mind. I mean, you know, going into that game and, you know, the year I've had and then that happening, I didn't know what had happened at that point, but, I mean, it definitely crossed my mind. You know, I knew something had happened to my leg. I didn't know how bad or how good it was, but, I mean, it was definitely something that crossed my mind for sure.
Where that you could actually feel something with the bones as you were being.
Yeah, so, like, yes, like when the doctors came out, like my leg was kind of sideways, so like they straightened it out, and like I could feel all the bones like in there, like crinkling kind of and touching. So, wasn't the best experience, but, you know, we got through it.
case scenario. So where are you health-wise? Have you hit all the checkpoints, and where are you in terms of your rehab?
Yeah, so I'm cleared for everything. So at this point, it's just building the strength back up, building the stamina, but the leg's healed. So at this point, it's, you know, just building the calf strength and the muscles around it back up.
You weren't able to work out for any teams?
No. I made a video a couple weeks or a week and a half ago that I posted on social media, but I didn't work out, no, sir.
You're going to be in a room now with Wyatt Teller and Joel Bitonio. What do you hope to learn from those two guys? And just how exciting is it for you to be in a room with, you know, two of the best in the game?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pumped to have two guys like that, you know, that are, that have done it and are doing it at a high level. I mean, just, you know, I'm pumped to come in, be in that room and just learn from them, you know, just see how they go about their everyday lives, you know, how they prepare, how they attack practice, all that kind of stuff, and just, you know, mimic and attach on them at the hip and just try to grow.
For both of you, what's it like joining a team that's already a playoff team? You know, you're not here with a 2-17 or 2-15 team. So what's that like being on a playoff team?
I mean, first and foremost, you know, just coming in and with a team like this, you know, it's a winning tradition and it's starting to get back to, you know what I'm saying, winning a lot of games. So I feel that's a great thing in itself, and hopefully, you know, we'll be able to bring one back, you know, for the city of Cleveland, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. You know, I don't like to lose. You know, I like to win, and, you know, I've got some rings over the years, and I'm hoping to keep adding to them.
Did you attend Browns games as a kid?
I think I've been to one. I can't remember which one. I was real young.
A ton of family in town, or can you sort of describe what your family and friends situation is like here?
Yeah, so I don't have too many family members in here, just my mom, you know, my brother, and that's just about it, yeah, really.
Part of you hoping to go somewhere else just to get, you know, to kind of broaden your horizons? Maybe you spend all your life in Ohio, like, did part of you think, okay, I might get drafted somewhere else?
Maybe. I mean, at the time, I felt good at my 30 visit here, you know, I felt at home, and you know, being here, I mean, it's just meeting the people and understanding the culture here, and just, I mean, Coach Forrest is just understanding his philosophy here is just everything was a fit. I mean, from day one, I loved it here, and even telling my mom and my brother, you know, I feel like, you know, Cleveland was the one, and luckily I ended up here, so it was the best thing ever.
Did you guys line up one-on-one at all over the last couple years?
In the game?
Yeah, a couple times.
He got me on one play.
No, he definitely. Yeah, it was a pretty good battle. You know, he would get me a couple of times, but it's all about competing at the highest level for sure.
I think I asked you about Jim Schwartz last night. But what do you think in general about this scheme? Where we've heard it last year, defensive tackles don't have to sit there and eat up blocks. They want you guys getting after the quarterback. I guess how much more do you think you can unlock just with your pass rush?
Man, I feel like, you know, Coach Schwartz is just going to bring the best out of me every day, day in and day out. And, you know, our whole philosophy is just to attack and disrupt. So, you know, just having that mentality and that mindset to finally be able to let the dog unleash, that's the best thing ever.
Huge Browns fan growing up.
Yes, ma'am.
And if so, who were some of the players that you identify with, or what are some of your Browns memories?
I remember when Johnny Manziel got drafted here, Trent Richardson. That was the best thing ever. I mean, I even still watch, like, little highlights and stuff from, like, the old things. But, yeah, it's just a dream come true to be a Cleveland Brown here, growing up here, been here my whole life. So it's just a hell of a feeling.
So like being a published author?
Yeah, you know, I got a little kid's book. You know, it's interesting for sure. You know, when NIL came out in that whole space, and then, you know, this guy had reached out to us, like, I think you guys should make a kid's book. And I didn't really know what to think at first. And then, you know, we spent a good amount of time on it, a lot of help from our parents and our moms, too, for sure. Make sure it sounded right.
What's that? Were you and Whipley good friends?
Oh, yeah. That was so – I can't remember which season. I think it was 22 season. That was my sophomore year. It may have been junior or senior year, but yeah, he was my lifting partner. So like in the off season, so like that whole winter, spring, I mean, he's my lifting buddy every day. And you know, Ohio State, we compete every day, even in the weight room. So just being able to understand, you know, people from different backgrounds and different ethnicities, and just be able to create a close friendship and brothers for life. And Ohio State is all about the brotherhood, and be able to be with him every day is just.
Drafted?
Yeah.
Is he happy?
Yeah, yes, sir.
It's hard work working on the interior of the defensive line. What do you love most about it?
Disrupting. I mean, just causing havoc. You know, I mean, I feel like the best thing ever is just making a quarterback, you know what I'm saying, like just look at you pre-snap and, you know, just just having that anticipation, you know, just, I mean, just disrupting. That's the whole thing at D-line and just chasing after a quarterback all day. I mean, it's the best thing ever.
You moved to Streetsboro. You know, how did that affect your football journey? How did, you know, what role did Streetsboro and, you know, Pete Thompson play and where you are now?
Yeah, so when I moved to Streetsboro, it was just it was all new to me because they weren't like big on football, you know, they were a little bit more basketball, wrestling, so it was kind of all new to them when I came out there. I came from Cleveland Benedictine, so, I mean, they were a football school, football, basketball, so they kind of knew the woodworks of that, but going out here, it was just kind of like changing the culture, you know what I'm saying? They didn't know too, you know, they haven't won a conference championship in, I think like a decade or something, so, you know, to be able to provide them with, you know, and be able to be a help to the team and bring back multiple of those and make multiple playoff appearances, I mean, that was the best thing that ever happened.
We began together in a way that you would not necessarily have wanted it to, but how? What would you like the ending to this story to be for you two guys together?
Yeah, I mean, it started off, I mean, like how it is, but I mean, let's go win a Super Bowl. Why not? You know what I mean? So, I mean, we guess we were enemies in college, but, you know, now we're brothers. now we're brothers and teammates. So.
Right.
In the past, I don't know if you know Wyatt Teller is also big into that. Are you excited to get to pick his brain about
that? Yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm a big outdoors guy, you know, hunting and fishing. So, you know, whenever I get some off time, it wasn't a ton in college, but, you know, whenever I did, I like to, you know, get outdoors and do that kind of stuff. So I'm excited for sure.
But Joe Thomas.
I know.
Yesterday you mentioned Larry Johnson, what a big influence he was on
you.
I guess in what ways and how do you think he most helped your game?
I mean, I feel like Coach Jay helped me. I mean, he's helped me tremendously on the field, of course, you know, just understanding pass rush and all that and just how to cage the pocket and all that and how to be a disruptor. But, I mean, I feel like the biggest thing he helped me is just, I mean, just off the field. You know, he's my mentor and he was my sports psych before I was in the sports psych. So, you know, just being transparent with him and being able to talk to him about anything, I feel like that was the best thing that could have happened for me and him, and just to have that real close bond and that relationship, you know, it really helped me as a player.
You said you've been cleared, and now it's just a matter of building up your muscles in that leg. Does that mean you'll be able to be on the field like in OTAs, or are you looking at a different timetable to get back to football stuff?
Yeah, no. I mean, I expect to be on the field for, you know, rookie minicamp here in a week and a half, you know, going through all the stuff on the field. You know, and just see what goes. But my leg feels really good now, so I expect to be on the field.
Do you think that all the Buckeyes in the locker room are going to embrace this rivalry?
Yes, ma'am. I mean, as harsh as it sounds, I mean, we're brothers now, so, you know, you got to put the past aside, and we got to go out there and go win one.
Brought your own support group here. What can you say about them, and you know, how much does it mean to share this moment with them?
Yeah, I mean, I got my parents here. I mean, they've been a huge part since, you know, the very beginning. You know, my dad played in college, so, I mean, my earliest memories are, you know, just watching college football games and, you know, when he was my coach playing flag and, you know, peewee tackle football. So it's pretty surreal to, you know, be here, be a Cleveland Brown, and, you know, just have them by my side for the whole way has been unreal.
Yeah, I feel like it's just a great experience to have my mother, my brother, my girlfriend, and my son here, you know, just to be able to provide my son, just be able to have him look at me, you know, later down the road when he gets older and watch this and, you know, see his dad doing something positive. I feel like that's the greatest thing ever as a father. But, I mean, just I love my mom, and she sacrificed so much for me and my brother. And I know she's going through a lot of emotions right now. So just real thankful and real appreciative of her. But also, you know, just give all the glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, without him, I'm nothing.
You had allowed no sacks and committed no penalties, you know, your senior season, obviously until it ended prematurely. But how much pride did you take in that, and what went behind you reaching that level of play?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just comes down to, you know, fundamentals, the dudes around me. I mean, our whole line, we mesh really well together. And, you know, we just – every week we go out there, try to play a clean game, you know, keep JJ up, and, you know, just – try to keep stay ahead of the sticks, you know, penalties, holding penalties, false starts, you know, put you behind the sticks. And, you know, we didn't want to do that. So, you know, just focusing on the little details that had hurt us in the years past and, you know, trying to correct those and keep them out of the game.
Like the cerebral part of the game, which obviously is required to do those things. How much is that a strength of yours along with leadership?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a big part of my game, you know, being able to, you know, adjust on the fly and do all that kind of stuff and adapt. But, I mean, I think it's a strong part of my game for sure.
Injury, I guess, Zach, make you have, like, a different appreciation for the game? I mean, I know it sounds like it obviously could have been much worse, but how did going through?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely did. I mean, this was the only injury that has ever taken me away from the game ever in my career, especially, you know, through the last couple seasons, coming into this season, coming back for the last year, it being the game against Ohio State, senior night in the Big House, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it definitely brought, like, the appreciation and love that I have for the game back because, you know, I missed being out there with the boys. You know, I want to get back on the field. I want to, you know, start producing and doing all that stuff again. And it really did bring the love back. You know, I've been going on a great run, and to have it all taken away really hurt. So, you know, I'm excited to keep grinding and get back out on the field.
Were you surprised the Browns picked you, or was there an indication they were interested in you?
Yeah, I mean, I had a great formal visit with them at the combine, and we had talked, and you know, with my agent as well, you know, I knew they had liked me. And, you know, when those picks were coming around, I had my fingers crossed. And, you know, when the phone rang, I was super excited.
Before the draft started, were you hoping to get reconnected with Harbaugh?
I don't know if I'm a West Coast guy, to be honest. But I would have been happy, you know, if you would have taken me as well, yeah.
With the way you guys played at Michigan, and I'm thinking about that second half against Penn State, when you guys are playing like that and just running the ball, how does that feel for you as a guard? And then how does that mentality kind of translate here?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we couldn't block the guys on the edge, and we were getting some pressure. And, you know, we said, all right, we can't pass, so we're going to run the ball. And, you know, we ran it 30-some times. They knew we were going to run it, and it was more of a, you know, mentality of, you know, we're going to run the ball, so can you stop it? And, you know, the coaches really, you know, put that in our hands, the running back's hands, and entrusted us with that, which was really special.
The Browns' fifth-round pick, Jamari Thrash, was up next. The Louisville wide receiver talked about how excited he is to play with this Browns wide receiver room and what he sees in himself as a player.
But what did you get out of that 1 year playing in the ACC at Louisville that you feel like you weren't able to really get during that time at Georgia State that helped you prepare you for now this next step?
Just being in Coach Brown's offense, knowing that he runs a post-star offense, and I knew that he was going to get me, you know, I don't want to say a leg up, but he was going to give me an opportunity to, you know, learn NFL offenses. You know, going to ACC, I was able to go against ACC defenses. ACC defenses that run NFL defenses. So just being in ACC and going against different competition and playing with Brown, you know, it also helped me a lot to, you know, mature and pick up on a lot of things heading into my NFL career.
Hey, Jamari, congratulations. What is your reaction to getting picked by the Browns, and did you think there would be a fit there? Did you have any kind of contact with them before the draft that made you think it would be a possibility?
Yeah, so I actually met with them at the combine. You know, they ran me through a couple tests. You know, they got to know me as a player and a character. So I actually kind of and you know what's so crazy? I knew they were going to pick me, but I looked at the upcoming four picks, and I was like, okay, like, I know I talked to the Browns a lot. I know I talked to, you know, such and such a lot. So, you know, I was just waiting on we'll see which team was going to grab me. But, man, I'm blessed and honored to be a Cleveland Brown. You know, it means a lot to me right now.
Hey, Jamari, what was this weekend like for you? Where were you? Who were you with? And what were the emotions like?
I mean, I was just around my family, friends, you know, people I grew up with. You know, it got kind of shaky for me because, you know, I'm like, you know, I just kept, you know, one round went by, and then, you know, I was just kind of, you know, I was getting kind of nervous. I couldn't be still. So that's how I know when I'm nervous, I can't be still. But, you know, once, you know, Coach called me, let me know he's going to select me, you know, it was a great feeling.
Hey, Jamari, looking at the roster and the receivers that are currently in Cleveland, is there someone that you're looking forward to kind of picking their brain and trying to grow your game,
yeah,
being
definitely
around them?
All of them. You know, I know they just recently got Judy. You know, Amari Cooper's been there, Elijah Moore's been there, James Prochet. You know, I'm just willing. I'm just ready to, you know, work and, you know, learn what I can learn from those guys. So, you know, I'm really excited about the future.
Jamari, it doesn't look like you have a bunch of special teams on your resume. Is that something that you think you can do in the pros? And have you done much of it at all?
Yeah, when I went to Louisville, you know, I was a gunner. You know, I played punt return, you know, in high school. I did it a little bit in college, but, you know, I never got my opportunity to do it, you know, in the game. But those are my, you know, that's my background when it comes to, you know, special teams. So, but yeah, special teams is something that I'm definitely, you know, willing to do. That's something that, it doesn't matter if I'm willing to do it or not. You know, I don't have a choice. But yeah, that's my whole mindset when it comes to it. But yeah, special teams, you know, I don't mind doing special teams.
Jamari, if you were to write out your own scouting report on yourself, what would it say?
Playmaker, good with the ball in his hands, creates, you know, enough separation. I feel like my tape just speaks for itself.
Congratulations, Jamari. In your conversation just with the Browns at the Combine, just what were some of the things you picked up on, learned about, and liked with the offense that they're trying to run next season?
Just seeing how they use their receivers. Just seeing, you know, seeing how versatile they let their receivers be. Because, you know, they showed me a couple formations and, you know, film of, you know, Mark Cooper being wide to the left and also in the slot as well. So just seeing how they use their receivers, you know, their concepts, and, you know, just play style.
Hi, Jamari. Ashley Bastock from Cleveland.com. I know you're excited to pick everyone's brain in that receiver room, it sounds like, but I've read you get praised for your route running. I'm wondering, with Amari Cooper specifically, since he's regarded as one of the best route runners in the league, how excited are you to get to talk that aspect of the game with him?
Man, I can't wait. Amari Cooper's done a good job. You know, he's always been consistent. You know, he was one of my favorite receivers when he was at Bama as well. So just being in that room with him and Judy and Elijah Moore, you know, just being in the room with those guys, I know I can just learn a lot. Like, you know, I can't wait to, you know, get into that room with those guys.
Hey, Jamari, I saw that you had a hand injury, had surgery, you played through it. How did that affect you in the second half of the season? And, you know, why was it so important for you to stay on the field?
You know, it kind of slowed me up. You know, trying to get back used to, you know, catching with, I don't want to say one hand, but trying to get strength back in, you know, the hand I had surgery in. It definitely, you know, slowed me down a little bit toward the second half of the season. But I always just wanted, you know, so just knowing what we had to do and seeing where we get in the standings, I knew that, you know, going to the ACC championship was something that was big on us, you know, coming in that January. So that was something that was big for us. And I just know the type of player I am and the type of teammate that I am. So I didn't mind, you know, playing, you know, with a broke hand or a broken wrist or a broken finger. Like, just knowing me as a player and just knowing that my team needs me on the field each game really just did a lot to me. So just knowing that they needed me, you know, I don't mind going all out for my teammates.
Director of Player Personnel Dan Sagany was up next. He talked about what he sees in all the draft picks so far and what specifically led the team to selecting Jamari Thrash.
About Jamari.
Yeah, we're very very excited to add Jamari to the roster. So Jamari, for us, we view him as a guy that can play inside and outside. He had a really productive college career at Georgia State and then, you know, decided to transfer up to Louisville last year and had another, you know, big year there. So a guy with speed, a guy that showed up really well through the Senior Bowl process. We really enjoyed getting to know him through our spring scouting process. And, you know, with these picks at this time of the draft, we're really looking to find players that we're looking forward to developing, getting, you know, having our coaches get their hands on them and, you know, see what they can do. So he's a competitive kid. He's had production inside and out throughout his college career, and he's a good playmaker with the ball in his hands. So excited to add him to the room and let him compete.
He doesn't have much special teams experience, but he said he knows that's got to be his role going forward here. Is he a guy that you could envision, you know, using in those kinds of spots? I guess he was a gunner in school.
Yeah, I mean, he's got speed. He's a tough kid. Like, in the thing that stands out about him, even for a slighter receiver, is, like, he can get off the line. He knows how to win. That stuff usually translates pretty well to the gunner spots. So, again, a guy that you can probably develop as a returner as well, just given the production he's had with the ball in his hands. So, you know, a guy that all those guys, they know they're going to have to compete for, you know, for roster spots. And special teams is a big part of that. But when you're looking at receivers, you know, if a guy has twitch, quickness, toughness, they usually find a way to get on the field. So looking forward to seeing what he can do working with Bubba.
So. You've been here a long time. Is there ever a conversation like we should probably start adding some guys from that football factory 2 hours down the road?
Well, we have lots of conversations about lots of different players. I figure you'd be asking about Akron at this point. But no, I mean, we're trying to add the best players we can to our roster, and everybody's board's different. You know, we kind of had to wait a little while today before we made a pick, and really just trying to add the best depth and competitive players we can to our roster, regardless of school, regardless of background. All these guys have all different backgrounds these days, and, you know, it's cool to see a guy have great success and then transfer up and have it translate well and work out well for him and then show up at the Senior Bowl and show out like he did. So guys like that, you know, we're excited to add at any point.
Sure. Most teams have the same opinion of where you're at right now, the quality of players that are available. Mm-hmm. How hard is it to trade out at this point? Does anybody
to trade out?
We certainly do our due diligence making a lot of calls. I mean, we've been honestly at all spots. We kind of talk about it every year where we're very proactive making calls up and down the board just based on who's there, based on, you know, a handful of players that could be there, and then we kind of, you know, sit and wait to see where it goes. But again, you know, you're trying to find developmental players. We're in a good spot with our roster where, you know, we have a lot of quality vets on this roster that, you know, anybody that we draft at this point is going to be able to learn from some pretty good pros and guys that have been around a while. And, you know, again, our job is to help play on the roster 2-3 years out down the line, and that's where these picks, you know, really become important and, you know, really good developmental pieces for us. So.
It's a general question, but with the transfer portal and everything, does that present any different challenge in scouting guys?
That's a great question. I would say, like, the transfer portal's been interesting because you know, it's almost better perspective, right, because you're getting background from sometimes three different schools on players now if they've gone through two or three schools at this point. So you're getting perspectives. You're seeing how guys have grown and matured over their career, not just at one school. You know, if they've stayed with one staff, you're learning from, you know, multiple staffs that they've had at different stops. It really gives you a sense of, like, who the player has become, not just as a player but as a person as they've gone. So I think it makes it a little bit harder to gather the information, but our scouts do an unbelievable job. I mean, they're on the road 200 days a year digging this information up. That's what they do. So we're fortunate that we have a really good group so that by the time, you know, we're comfortable making a pick and adding a player to our roster, we feel like we really know that player. And it all starts with gathering that background and all the work that everybody upstairs does.
Did you know that Hall and Zinter had that ironic, weird connection before you drafted them both on day two?
I mean, we're aware of some connections, but I would say, you know, we're really excited to add both guys as football players. I mean, they're...
Got shoved into...
Oh, I've seen the play a lot.
So
I can tell you, every play in that Ohio State-Michigan game, we've seen probably 80 times as a group together at this point. So that's what we do from February through about a week ago. So, that's why I was like, did you guys challenge them to a steel cage death match out here before we even started the day? So, both those guys obviously are super competitive players and played, you know, some pretty good football at a high level. So that'll be fun to watch that battle in practice for years to come as you guys get to watch them out there. So I was not at that game. I was up there a year or two ago, but I was not at this game. Yes.
How many? One scout or
couple? One or two. Might have been, I think this year is one. We want to say two last year.
A question about development.
Sure.
This is the fifth straight year, I believe, that you guys have drafted a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Two are no longer with the organization, so it leaves you with three, including Thrash here. I realize when you're at this point in the draft, you're hoping to get lightning in the bottle. But how do you feel about the young receiver development right now, as far as where it's at, and is it a case where you guys are just trying to keep reinvesting in that particular position open to him?
Yeah, that's a great question, too. I think, like, it, just to answer the first part of your question, with developing receivers, I feel great. I think Chad O'Shea is one of the best receiver coaches in the league. I think we have a great player development crew here that does a lot behind the scenes to continue working with these guys. You know, with Jamari in particular, the thing that stands out to us is his ability to separate naturally, and he's kind of proven that at two different levels now, and then, you know, through the spring and the All-Star Game circuit, as we mentioned. So when we're, you know, the hard part about receiver in the NFL developing, and that's why it is like a high turnover position, is like there's sometimes two, three on the field at most. But, and it takes an opportunity. Sometimes, it takes an injury for a guy to get on the field and show what they can really do. We've had plenty of guys through the years that, you know, look great in practice, and then, you know, they have to show up and prove it, but you need those guys, you know, to be able to get to the field and be active to do it. So I know somebody asked the special teams question. That's one way to get on the field and prove yourself. There's plenty of, you know, there's a history of guys in the league that started as special teams players and developed into good players. And, you know, thinking through the back, through the years here, even Rashard Higgins, you know, had a little bit of action as a rookie. You know, he was a guy we cut, put back on practice squad, brought him right back to the 53, and then it took him a year to really prove what he could do. So, you know, as an organization, I think we're in a great spot with player development. And, you know, our job, again, is to provide depth and so that we can survive injuries over the course of the year. And when those guys get their opportunity to show what they can do, they, you know, they have one or two things in their skill set that allows them to succeed at our level.
Zach had said that he had worked a little bit early in his Michigan career at center. Do you guys sort of envision him potentially, you know, some versatility there beyond just guard, you know, just, you know, even if it's just as a, you know, an emergency possibility?
Yeah, I would leave that one fully up to the coaches. I mean, the good thing about Zach is he's played multiple positions. He is super smart. He's a guy where you honestly feel like you can plug and play wherever, and he's, you know, he's going to know exactly what to do. He's going to know, you know, the right angles on how to do it. He's going to take coaching very well and understand exactly what we're doing schematically. So long-term roster-wise, those things bear themselves out over time. Again, opportunity creates play time, and we'll see how he does. But, you know, I think he fully fits our, you know, smart, tough, accountable mantra, and we'll fit right into that room really early.
Thinking about yesterday, the run on D tackles, and it just seems like you guys obviously come away with one, but in the NFL, the contracts that veterans are getting in free agency and that emphasis on D tackles you can get after opposing quarterbacks, how in recent years has that changed, like, your evaluation of the position, and how have you seen it kind of trickle down into college, maybe anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, pass rush is a premium no matter what. I mean, we see, you know, the guys that hit the market this year, even, you know, signed extensions recently at the D tackle position. It's a highly paid, highly coveted position. And, you know, taking a guy like Mike, very good, you know, quickness, twitch, power, and, you know, has, you know, really like the ideal skill set for what we're looking for out of a three technique. So when you see guys like that, they kind of jump off the tape in college. A lot of college teams, you know, play odd fronts or play three guys where it's, you know, you have more DBs and linebackers on the field. But, you know, a guy like Mike really was identified pretty early here as a guy that's a perfect scheme fit for us and fits what we do. And again, it is something that we're always looking to add wherever we can. So
he really had some, he had some real dominant stretches down there, and then
maybe some inconsistency. What would you attribute that to?
Inconsistency, I would just say, like, you know, he's a guy that's going to come off the ball, so maybe it looks a little bit differently when, you know, the ball goes the other way, or it gets out a gap, you know, maybe from where he was supposed to be on tape. I just think, like, his strength is coming off the ball. It's disrupting. It's, you guys have heard Jim's phrases over and over. That's what he does. And I just think his inconsistent plays create opportunities for others, which is how we kind of view things when you're building your front seven. And, you know, we're fortunate that we have a couple pretty good D linemen around him with the ability to rectify some mistakes when you got a guy that just gets up the field and disrupts and has power and plays fast. So that's what we want our guys to do.
Back to the development aspect, when you look at Jamari's game and the areas that he can grow, what can he learn from the this current receiving core, just with what Amari and you guys like Elijah and them have been able to do.
Yeah, if I were Jamari, I would be watching and listening to every detail that those guys provide with route running. Like, when you talk about the three guys you mentioned, they're all very quality route runners. They all have the ability to play inside and out, just like we view Jamari as. So, you know, route running in the NFL versus a high amount of press coverage is, you know, it takes, again, the receiver curve. It takes a little time for these guys to figure that out. You know, his athletic skill set and what he's proven throughout his college career is already, you know, up to par, if you will. And then it's up to him to, you know, learn the nuances, learn those smaller things, and really probably learn to study tape and listen to how these guys see the game, because that's a pretty smart receiver group. And guys, you know, one of the best things about that group, we always joke about how we have a pretty boring receiver group here, and it's because those guys they're pros. They all, you know, they all pull for each other, they all root for each other, and they all learn from each other, and guys have come from, you know, different buildings too, so they've gathered a lot along the way. So,
receiver class that appears as deep as this one is, what are the challenges with that? And, like, do you group guys by, okay, these guys are whatever, by style, I guess, when you're breaking down and decide who you're going to wind up picking?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because we build our board a certain way, but I would say in general we're looking for guys that can separate, get open, catch the ball, and run after the catch. That's kind of how we view things in general. Receiver, corner's another position in the league where, like, guys come in all different shapes and sizes and have, you know, maybe highs or lows here, and some of that is size. But again, you know, the league's trending to a lot of 11 personnel. You're going to play with three receivers most of the game. So, you know, we put a premium on guys that we believe can separate and catch the ball, which, you know, Jamari's proven he can do it at a high level. So,
who spends his year studying these guys, and years in some cases, are you ready to have a first-round pick?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that next year. It'll be a lot more exciting, probably down here as well. So, but, I mean, in general, it's funny. I remember being asked this question last year, and all we do is really shift our board and just shift the players that you're focused on. So it's like if you're taking a receiver later, you're still as excited about him sometimes, or a player being there in the fifth round, sixth round, as you would be getting, you know, quote unquote, getting your guy in the first. So the two guys that we added yesterday, we were very excited, you know, that it ended up working out and we were able to add them to the roster. So I would say there's, like, no shortage of excitement when we're able to do that. But, you know, again, a first round pick is a huge resource, and as we've seen the last couple of years, those can go a lot of different ways. And, you know, we deploy our resources in a lot of different directions, I would say. So, but, yeah, it would be nice to have that resource back. Looking forward to it.
Jamari played part of the end of the season, or, like, most of the end of the season with a broken hand. Could you see that difference on film when you were watching it? What does it tell you about a guy when he wants to play through that and stay on the field?
Yeah, I mean, receivers that play through stuff like that, and, you know, your job is catching the ball, I think it just, again, proves the makeup of who the kid is. So, you know, tough, competitive, and smart is what we're looking for in every position. I think he fits all that, and just one more example of how he proves it. So,
concerns about any drop issues with him?
No, our scouts do a really good job of providing that context, and, you know, we have a number of different lenses. We look at, you know, drop rate, stats, all those things, and we really try to contextualize things the best we can and really go over the player's whole career, not just, you know, one small sample of his 4 or 5 years playing college football. So,
Ed, picked three different visits with Franklin. Mm-hmm. Kind of combined, and he came here. So you surprised he went so low?
I mean, we enjoyed our time with Troy too. You know, wish him the best of luck where he ends up. I would say, again, everybody's board is very different, and, you know, where you're choosing players in the drafts, you're kind of, for us, we're looking at bundles of players and the availability to get players that we like at different positions across, you know, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, whatever round it might be. So, but yeah, I mean, good player, and wish him the best going forward. So there's a lot of guys we spend, you know, time with through the process that you're excited to see how they end up, because, you know, you had great experiences with them and want to see how they do.
Wrapping up the day at the podium was general manager Andrew Berry and head coach Kevin Stefanski. They talked together to recap all the picks in the 2024 NFL Draft and how they feel the weekend went for your Cleveland Browns.
All right, so as we wrap up draft weekend, very excited with the group of players that we were able to select this weekend. All of them have aspects that made us excited about them as prospects, and also as people. Our scouts, our coaches, they've been hard at work, for the last little bit, signing undrafted free agents, something that's been, really fruitful for us over the past couple of years, but particularly last year, with Ronnie Hickman and Mamou. So it's an important part of what we do, and our job's not done yet. But we like the young players that we've added to the team. We're looking forward to seeing them integrate with the veterans as we get into May. And with that, I'll open up for questions.
Couple of the guys today that maybe we could start with Thrash. What did you like so much about Jamari?
Yeah, so Jamari, we liked his route skill and his separation ability. This was a guy that both was very productive at Georgia State, and then transferring up to Louisville, really answered the bell there, and then really even through the Senior Bowl in January. We view him as a guy who can play outside and inside. He's good with the ball in his hands. So as we think through our offense and our, fit within that receiver room, we're looking forward to seeing him compete for reps. And we think he's the guy that has position flex.
Can you go into depth on drafting Watson? What did you like about him?
Yeah. So with Nathaniel, so one of the things that we thought a lot about when we lost Sione in free agency this spring, one of the things that he was able to add when he played both Mike and Sam is a little bit more stoutness in the middle of the defense, particularly at the point of attack. And we think that, Nathaniel, he's got good range, he's incredibly smart, and he has good instincts, but he provides maybe a little bit of a diverse profile in that linebacker room because he does have a little bit more strength and power at the point of attack. So we see him as a player that has the potential to maybe develop into that type of role, Mike, Sam, flex, and ultimately be someone who's a candidate to call the defense after he gets his sea legs out from under him.
Let's see, as you got later into the, especially those last three picks, how much are you guys sort of looking, special teams looking at, especially with the changes that you're going to deal with the new kickoff rule, how they could fit in there?
That's a great question, Chris. That was actually a big part of the discussions with a number of the prospects that we talked about and debated, and some went off the board at different points, but it was a big part of the discussions. As we thought kind of through the whole big picture profile of an individual player, so definitely part of it.
Are you comfortable with Watson's off-field stuff, and do you think that's why he was still available in the sixth round?
Yeah, I can't comment on why, how other teams viewed him, but, we are comfortable with the person, yes.
How much of that, I guess I wonder, how long has he been on your guys' radar? Because he was in school for 6 years, so you've done work on him in previous drafts.
Yeah, I would say he's probably been on our radar as much as any prospect in this class. I wouldn't say that it was anything, too far off the norm in that regard.
For you to have a draft where you just kind of stay put and made your pick, was there something different about this draft?
It wasn't for a lack of effort, I can assure you, Dan. We were talking about that as we were coming downstairs. It's like, man, this is the first draft that we haven't executed a trade. I blame it on Kwesi, and you can quote me on that, because Kevin was joking. He's like, I've never heard two people talk more about trades involving seventh-round picks than the two of you and not get a deal done. But we had a number of opportunities where we were either trying to move around today, and like we talked about yesterday, we had a couple opportunities, but it just didn't make sense for whatever reason. But I would not say that that's going to be the new MO.
I think this is the fifth straight year you've drafted a wide receiver. Is that a coincidence, or is that kind of a byproduct of the first two guys that you did draft not being here?
Yeah, I think it's probably a little bit more coincidence. I mean, I think you see more, that's going to be one of the more plentiful positions in terms of just overall quantity year over year. And then also just like as you think about different positions and where you select them, I wouldn't read too much into that, Daryl.
You guys are building bridges between Ohio State and Michigan. I know you've spent some time with Mike and with Zach. What was it like to see them together today and just the general impressions on that?
No, it was great. I mean, I think those two guys are going to add a lot to our locker room in different ways. You know, I think Mike with just his passion and his energy, and I think Zach's kind of the steady, you know, steady presence. But I'm looking forward to seeing those two battle it out on the practice field, you know, once we get the pads on. And they're both looking forward to being teammates.
Cross-trained a little bit at center. Is that maybe down the line you guys look around with him?
Yeah, very rarely will we bring a lineman in and have them work at one spot. Especially, young players, we want them to have, you know, positional flexibility. And Zach's incredibly smart and someone that we expect to be able to handle the load of multiple spots.
When you look at that tight end room, was that a position where you considered guys during this draft? And I guess I know there's a lot of time left in the offseason, but how do you think it kind of stacks up right now? Do you feel like maybe you're a guy short?
Yeah, I'd say in any room we don't feel like we're done. The first game is until Labor Day weekend or after Labor Day weekend. So we've got a long way to go. We can probably maybe catch our breath for a day, but, you know, I think we talked about before the draft, Zedarius we traded for on a Friday night in the middle of May. Shelby we signed, early August, and we traded for Pierre and Dustin, you know, at the end of camp. So there's still work to do in the roster, and that's not just limited to the tight end room. But that's what the next couple months are for.
In a spot you came into the weekend going, we really like to address that spot? Or
what do I typically say before the draft in terms of the draft? Yes, so.
Mark, the end of the Deshaun Watson trade, the last pick was made by Houston. Just wondering, what do you think about that now, knowing that that's kind of behind you in some respects? And you'll have a first-round pick next year. Can you sort of wrap up how you feel about the whole thing right now?
I'll be honest in truth, Mary Kay, I haven't thought about it that way or, like, spent any time reflecting on it. I really just look at it as, hey, here are resources in a given year. How do we best apply them to the team to make it better in the short and long term? So that's not something I really think about.
How much are you looking forward to having something to do on Thursday night next year?
For now. No, it'll be great to have kind of our full complement of draft picks back for sure. How we deploy them, we'll see over the next year.
Could you speak to the developmental aspect? This, the bulk of this draft here seems to be about bringing in some young guys that maybe not immediately are going to have an impact. Maybe hope one or two of them can, but, down the road they will. Just how you get these guys in here.
Sure, we look at it. I mean, these are not finished products. Some of them are very young. Obviously, Mike is 20 years old. So these guys, these people are developing, off the field. Obviously, we're going to spend a lot of time with them on the field to develop them and their skill set. But that's a huge – we talked about it yesterday. That's a huge part of our job as coaches is to get as much out of these players as we can. And we're eager to get to work with them in a couple weeks.
I was going to ask you, Kevin, so how excited do you get when you have a new draft class and you'll see them on the field here in just a couple of weeks?
Yeah, that's the thing. Seeing them on the grass is what's most exciting. Bringing them in here, and it's a long, arduous process, and AB and his crew did a great job, and it's so organized, and really they stayed true to really the process, if you will. Then when we get them on the grass, that's the fun part for the coaches, where we can take them through an individual drill and start to acclimate them to our schemes.
Last week you talked about potentially with the new kickoff rules, the size of coverage players maybe looking for some different things. Did Watson's size play a big factor in determining his value?
That's a great question, observation. It did. His style of play did. I think it's something for us when we went through the process, we thought he could fill this or potentially fill this specialized role at linebacker, but we also thought he could be a multi-phase producer on special teams, and specifically with the new kickoff rule. As we talked about before the draft, probably none of us really know how it's going to look and operate, but it certainly is a speculative play on our part that we think that's something that he could be good at.
We get a guy like Rash, who it sounds like he hasn't played a ton of special teams, and that obviously becomes such an important part for rookies. Like, how do you go about evaluating a guy like that, basically?
Truthfully, with receivers, they're unless they're returners, they're typically not like highly involved in special teams. Maybe I should say it differently. They're not highly impactful, like multi-phase producers, just because of what's required. So I think guys that do that are a little bit more the exception to the rule. But we always tell our guys, like, hey, if you're not, you know, if you're not Amari Cooper, like, you've got to be able to do more to be active on game day. So that'll certainly be, you know, not just a challenge to Jamari, but really all of our young guys who probably for a lot of their careers have not played special teams, and this will really be the first time.
How do you approach, I know you're not going to give names right now, but as you try to approach that that UDFA class, what's kind of your method? What are you looking for as you kind of piece that together?
So the way we look at it is any player that we add to the roster, they should have some clear strength, even if it's very narrow. You know, are they someone who is really fast or really strong, or someone who can rush the passer, or someone who's really good in the run game? You know, there should be some type of clear strength for why they are here. Because once we get to September and we're putting the team together, as you talk about, call it spots 40 through 53, it really is a puzzle piece. You're trying to complement your starters and your primary players with skill sets that you may lack in certain areas. So when we go in the undrafted free agent process, we're looking for guys with strengths. It may, you know, and probably by definition, those guys are maybe a little bit more limited coming in. But it's like, hey, does this guy have size? You know, can he run? Or if we have a certain profile at the position, we're looking for the most important trait. So maybe a perfect example would be, you know, Ronnie Hickman last year. You know, we thought this was a guy who was athletic, who could run, and had great ball skills. So we're like, hey, this is a guy who could be a developmental free safety for us. And Ronnie came along even more quickly than we anticipated. But those strengths were something that we felt would complement our room.
Fit that bill a little bit too, because I thought I saw he was on that freaks list. Was there something specifically about his traits that jumped out at you guys?
Yeah, with Jawan, we really thought that it's maybe a little bit like what we talked about with Michael yesterday, where his strength, he's kind of like a move style defensive tackle. And for us, as we get into the later rounds or we get into the undrafted free agent pool, you'll see us choose or select or sign guys that are more that profile because of what we ask our defensive line to do in this scheme.
Into Miles Harden.
Yeah, so, you know, Miles, small school corner, who we thought actually has a pretty well-rounded skill set. I think he probably has maybe a little bit more, from our perspective, you know, a nickel profile with even maybe some potential to flex at safety. But really smart kid, was productive, you know, out at South Dakota, you know, good enough tools for the position. And you know, I think, as you know, Nate, you know, corner will always be a premium spot for us.
For defense to offense, did it just kind of turn out that way? You didn't go into the draft thinking that you needed to go heavy defense.
Yeah,
right?
I'll be honest, like probably going to the draft, if you would have asked me how it would have shaped out, it probably would have been the other way, just because of, you know, some of the strengths and weaknesses of the draft class. So it's just another reminder to us that you just have to stay flexible and adaptable with you know, what the board throws at you. But you know, we're excited about the group of young men that we've added.
I know how you're going to answer this, but I've asked, have you made a decision on Greg's fifth-year option?
Very happy with Greg. Wanted as many man corners as we can have, and we'll let you guys know when at the appropriate time.
We're earlier talking about traits. I think last year you were talking about horses, and really well. Is there something off the top of your head, like, in this draft class, this guy does X really well, and that stands out above the rest?
Yeah, that's actually a really great question. You know, I think probably the easy one is Mike, just because, you know, his ability as a rusher, just both with his physical tools and feel, it's something that we put a premium value on. But, you know, I really could go down the list. Like, you know, Zach, we think is – you know, his superpower is he's an excellent pass protector. Jamari, he's an outstanding separator. You know, Nathaniel, you know, he's really good in the run game, particularly using his strength. You know, Miles is probably a little bit his, you know, his instincts and versatility. And then Jawan, it's his movement ability. So That's not to say that all those individuals are isolated to that, you know, primary feature, but it's certainly something that made them attractive to us.
One thing to
let me go here, and then I'll hit you, Daryl.
I'm curious if in the fifth round, was there a little brotherly instinct in play when the Eagles came up and jumped you guys to try to get Jeremiah Charter Jr.?
Oh, no, there wasn't. I'd like to say there was a better story to that, but no, there wasn't. There wasn't.
It's one thing to rebuild a roster. It's another to kind of get the wheel of talent flowing, so to speak, where you can cultivate your own to compensate for any losses. Do you feel that now you're as deep as you are into this, that you've gotten to that stage in roster building where you feel like that wheel is starting to naturally turn for you, as opposed to you're constantly filling holes and things like that?
Yeah, truthfully, I do, Daryl. I certainly hope so. But we feel good about the health and depth of the roster. We won't know till we get to the fall because, you know, as I say every year, guys surprise you in both directions. And things change fast in the NFL, you know, as we see. So, you know, as we sit here today, though, we're happy with where we stand. We're not satisfied, and we know that we still have work to do and areas to bolster and supplement. But we do feel good about the health as we stand today.
Perhaps a quarterback maybe in undrafted or somewhere that you guys could bring in here, because it seems like you might need another arm or a developmental player with what's going on with DeShaun and Dorian.
I'd say that's unlikely. Yeah.
Draft is perfect. Did you guys accomplish what you guys wanted to accomplish this weekend in maximizing those late round picks?
I'd say so. Number one, I don't know that everyone's going to say they accomplished what they intended to accomplish, but the truth is none of us actually know. All we can say is we tried to make the best decisions, you know, that were at the moments that they were placed in front of us. You know, I think we had some goals in terms of pick management or resource management that we weren't afforded the right opportunity to execute on. But that being said, we're happy with the group of players that we're bringing in.
That's it for today on From the Podium. You can like and subscribe today to From the Podium wherever you get your podcasts to find more episodes. Be sure to check out the Browns' social media platforms. Check out youtube.com/Browns and the Cleveland Browns mobile app. You're going to get all the latest news as the offseason rolls on here in Berea. We got rookie mini camp right around the corner, so you're not going to want to miss any news from that. First time we'll get to see these new rookies. I'm Jake Malencik, and thanks for listening to the Browns From the Podium podcast.